the flag of the United States of America, which is a republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We get attendance and roll call, please.
Shire.
Here.
Brink.
Here.
Demeline.
Here.
Todd.
Here.
Dawson.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Approval of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to add, so council has the option, executive session prior to ordinance 05-2024. Under ORC 121.22G1, that would be to consider the employment, promotion and compensation of a public employee.
Make a motion to adjourn. I have a motion, do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second, can I get roll call, please?
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Dawson? Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Okay. Is there approval for the minutes, previous meeting, February 5th, 2024?
So moved. Second.
I have a motion and a second, can I get roll call, please?
Demeline?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Is there any public wishing to address council today? Sorry. State your name and address, please.
My name is Rick Tressler, I live at 607 Maplewood. Last meeting I came to, a young gentleman was in here to represent his father about the water bill. And I was really upset when he left because I felt like we got the politician to shuffle. So I'm here to ask about the water bill. I mean, this is a plus 30% increase in 1 month.
Sir, it's got to be on a topic that's on tonight's agenda, and that's kind of what I told him last time. If you have questions about the water bill, you reach out to my office. If I can't answer them for you, then we can put you on the agenda.
I pay taxes here, so every one of these people, including you as an employee of mine, and them, and I feel that the council, if you can't answer me, I think the council owes me too.
So give me a chance to do that, and then if you don't like my answer, we can put you on the agenda and you come back and address council.
So you'll be available to me anytime after 6 o'clock p.m. Monday.
If you want to make an appointment, I'll stay after just to talk to you, sir.
I just don't think that's fair because we should be explained the percentages that you went up and why. And just to say that it's due to expenses. I mean, we just bought some new vehicles for the plant and stuff like that.
We haven't. And it was explained repeatedly at public meetings here. So you can't say that we didn't explain it.
I've been coming to a few of them, and I don't recall that.
Well, it wasn't explained at every public meeting, but it's been explained repeatedly. So if you would like to make an appointment with me, I will clear my schedule in an evening, and I will stay late, and I will meet with you, and we can go over it all.
So to be honest with you, and I don't mean to be a pest here, but if I make a meeting with you and you just told me it's expenses and I walk away, that's a politician to shuffle. And I don't like that. Each and every one of you, if you voted for it, you owe me an explanation. There was five or six other people here. When they walked out, the thing they said was, it's never going to change because they're not going to listen. Shame on you.
No, it's not that we don't listen, sir. I'll give you a couple minutes of my time. The water bill increase has been discussed for the better part of 3 years. It's not a surprise. So we've discussed it in open meetings. For multiple years.
A 30% increase minimum, it looks like, on most bills that I've looked at. If I did budgeting for a dealership for years, and if I get a 30% increase, I'd have got my head chopped off. You know, it's a little bit of mismanagement. I know you're new to the job, but 30%, guys? I'd just like to know the percentage that was. Just that's all I need to know.
I don't have any information with me tonight, which is why I've asked repeatedly, if you set an appointment with me, I will be happy to discuss this and give you any information you want on it.
Well, you know, clearly, somebody knows the percentage is going up. They're not in that building, in this building.
All right, Mr. Mayor, I recommend that we move on.
Really, I tell you what, if I'm going to get the shuffle, I'll be here and we'll talk again next week.
Well, if you want to make a meeting with Mr. Glenn,
I don't understand why we have to make a specific meeting for him. If there's no place to talk about business for the city and its residents.
There is. Business is to be discussed with the administrator.
Mm-hmm.
Council meetings are reserved for, you know, legislation. We have a 2-minute limit here with people talking from the public.
Right.
And to give you the full explanation and figures and numbers and all the information that we have to provide with you is not going to take you minutes.
Well,
it's going to take, I'm talking, there's 3 years of documentation and numbers and figures and the old plan and Mr.
And I don't know where to find that information because every time I go to your website, which is a different information, it's not available. It's so far behind that I can't find it.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Where do I find it?
Coming to Mr. Glenn is going to be your best option. For information, he's got it in his office.
Thank you for your time.
Is there anyone else? All right, correspondence?
Really, the only thing I have for correspondence, thanks to Chief Austin, he helped with the editing of this to make it for Delta. But I met with the individual that wants to put on the concert, Hope Church, I believe. They do the concert in the park every year. And when she came in to meet with me, I asked, you know, what the normal process was. Did they fill out a permit application so we know? And she said they just never did anything. They just told Brad, which is why this year's concert came as a shock to Chief Austin and I when they started setting it up. So anybody that's having an event in the village anymore is going to have to fill out one of these event applications so it can be reviewed by myself and the chief to see if there's any kind of concerns we have. And they'll also have to be providing a certificate of insurance for the event so we can keep that stuff on file with the village. At this point, there will be no additional fees associated with that, but we do want to start keeping track of it.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else for
I have nothing else in the correspondence.
Okay. Financial director?
Nope. My administrative report?
What?
Administrator report?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I handed out before the meeting my administrative report for the past month. We're continuing with the biweekly staff lunches. Again, I really believe that that's work doing a lot to improve the morale of the employees. We did get a new vehicle for the Public Works Department. We interviewed 4 candidates for the Street Department and 2 candidates for the Water Plant. We extended an offer, which was accepted, to Tony Pelland and Sherry Nichols for the Street Department positions, and Briar Knapp accepted the open position at the Water Plant. We're still working to find a second company to give us a proposal for the continuous monitoring for water meters. The company that had come in just has not returned any phone calls, so we're researching to see what other options are out there. I attended the monthly regional planning meeting in Wasion, just assisted Chief Austin with interviewing a 4th candidate for the position of police officer. Marlena, Jenna, and I are continuing to try to get the 2024 budget completed by the end of March. I attended an Ohio Means Jobs seminar in Wasion, and they provided a lot of good information and resources that are out there for us. I have contacted the company that prepared the plans, I think in 2015, for Fernwood. And I'm waiting on a proposal from them we need to get the survey updated, and there's a lot of changes that need done to the design of that street. So I'm waiting on a proposal from them to get that work done. As soon as we get the plans updated, then we can start trying to identify funding sources and we can start applying for funding to try to get that project moving. Kessler has been working to remodel my office, and so while they were here, I know that it's been a topic amongst the office staff that this place looked like a prison with the colors that were out in the hallway. So I don't know if you noticed when we walked in, but we did get a proposal from them to, while they were here, paint the hallway, and then we're going to have carpeting installed and everywhere except the foyer areas to try to deaden the echoing that we have in the building. I participated in an active shooter drill at the high school along with Chief Austin. That was pretty valuable information, I think, we've gained from that. I've reached out to a couple companies to provide a bid to do the preliminary survey work that will be need to be completed in order for us to put the bid sheets together to request proposals for qualifications and bid on the two potential new housing developments on the north side of town. I've had preliminary discussions with the solar company regarding a potential installation at the wastewater plant that would also be able to supply the plant with the electricity it needs to operate. So not a lot of information on that yet. I'm waiting on them to get back with me with something. I attended the Fulton County Economic Development Commission meeting, which is held in Swanton this month. We had our initial meeting with Nature Fresh to discuss several water concerns, including the rates on their raw water or on their treated water line that they would use for irrigation. We've met with two uniform companies and obtained bids to supply uniforms to all village employees. So we're hoping to get some designs done and presented to you guys to kind of get your input on that at the next meeting. I did meet with the Toledo Lucas County Port Authority regarding some pretty exciting economic development tools they have available to us that would be able to help us attract new businesses to the village. And I hope to have a lot more information for you guys on that in the coming meetings. I did attend the annual township convention in Columbus, but spent my entire time down there pretty much obtaining information from the vendors that is going to be very valuable in assisting us with plans and projects we have going on out here and some of the needs for the village, including a lot really good contact I made on Parks. It's a local company, and they do everything like complete redesigns that like they have experts on staff that would do that. And they said that they'd be willing to attend the April park board meeting to give input on those designs that we're waiting on from the high school. And then the Dollar General plans are nearly complete, and I hope to be able to issue the permit on that this week.
I have a question about the continuous monitors for the water lines. I think that's a pretty important tool to have in place.
Correct.
Especially for our residents. Is that something maybe we don't hear from a second company at a certain amount of time, we can move forward with something?
Well, the only company that we have obtained a bid from are the supplier for our current meters, Neptune. I'm not real keen on the system they have to do that with because they got to install two different antennas. One will be on our water tower here, and I think they propose one to be on the York Township property. And with those two antennas, it's still only going to give us about 85% to 90% coverage. So there's still going to be some people that are on Delta Water that don't get that continuous monitoring. So we'd like to find somebody that would be able to give us a bid to have 100% coverage.
I don't want to see us wait forever.
Well, we're not.
Forward, right. Nobody replies. So that's my concern.
All right.
I need a approval of invoices.
So moved.
Second. I have a motion and a second for the invoices. Can I get roll call, please?
Todd?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Moderator.
No report, Mr. Mayor.
Police chief?
No report, sir.
Thank you. Vice Mayor? Finance? Nothing in old business. New business.
Move on to new business.
Is there anything?
Portals and Armistices. Do you want to have anything ready for those?
Yeah, if we can do it either right before the March 4th meeting would be best, so we can maybe have a recommendation to council on those.
I'm sorry, could you please use your microphone? I can't hear anything back here.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm good.
So before the meeting?
Like 4:30?
4:30, work. March 4th.
So there will be a rules and ordinances committee meeting March 4th at 4:30.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, so now there's nothing in old business. New business ordinance 04-2024, first reading.
Ordinance 04-2024 is an ordinance amending the boundaries of the community reinvestment area established in 1992 for the Village of Delta and declaring an emergency.
So a couple of things brought this to the forefront as far as things that need to happen. Number one would be the two potential new developments on the north side of the town. The only way we're going to get those developments done is by TIFing that property, which is tax increase financing. I don't know what the second F stands for, but increment finance, yes. So basically what that would do is it would capture when those properties are built and the values increase, all of that increased valuation, but all of those taxes would be captured and stay at the TIF to repay the loan we would take out to construct the infrastructure.
Which property?
That would be the 50 acres at H and 7 and the property off of Adrian. The property off of Adrian, over half of that is currently in the pre-94 CRA, and you can't have both. You can't have a pre-94 CRA that gives tax abatements and expect to capture the additional tax monies to pay for the loan you take out to construct the infrastructure.
Does the 94 CRA, it differently in terms of causing the TIF to be subordinate? Because I know Dayton runs their CRA program, which is a 15, and then their TIF program on the same properties are subordinate, which then start after that 15-year period.
Okay, so that means the village would have to fund and pay off all of that financing we would take out to construct that infrastructure and wait to get paid back. And I don't think Delta's in a position with our budget that we would be able to do that.
And so I guess my follow-up question to that is, with TIF monetization, what form are we looking at, more developer-based monetization? In other words, they're issuing the assurances financially, or is the village assuming the liability on that TIF?
So the village, so the way that would work, I've already had preliminary discussions with the school. We'll be at the school board meeting to present it to the board at their March meeting. We would be asking them for an 80-20, which would capture 80% of that increased value for 20 years to pay off the TIF. The way I'm going to propose to structure that on the 50 acres would be a potential windfall for the school if it developed quickly, and I think we have a plan in place to do that by allowing multiple builders in there to do it. If that develops quickly, that loan gets paid off, and then as soon as that loan is paid off, basically the percentage would switch from 80% in the TIF, 20% to the schools, to 80% to the schools, 20% stays in the TIF. So for the remaining 20 years, the school would actually bring in more income than they would have just from the increased value of the properties. And then we could also, we're still working on the numbers, but if we did that, another benefit we could probably work into that same TIF loan, it would be enough, is we could finish the construction of Panther Pride Drive all the way over to 62, which would be a great help for the traffic around the junior high and elementary in the mornings and evenings.
And I assume that the but-for clause is being covered by the sewer water infrastructure being caused, that the TIF would be able to be enacted?
Yes. Wauseon has a similar but different, but they got a residential development over there that's currently being constructed under a residential TIF.
And then amending the pre-1994 CRA, this will be the second and final time that the CRA is able to be amended and still be treated under a pre-1994 errata.
Nope, this will actually eliminate any residential from being able to. This is actually...
So this is the third then?
Yes.
I was under the impression this was only the second.
Nope, this will eliminate, and we are the only jurisdiction that still has it under residential, or available for residential. You know, it's been in place for how long, and there hasn't really been a housing boom. There's been houses built that have been built because of it, but there hasn't really caused a housing boom. I think there are a lot of other tools available, like these TIFs and that, to get all the infrastructure built that will keep the cost of building these homes low enough that people will be able to afford them, because the developer doesn't have to upfront all that money for all the infrastructure. So it's a way for us to partner to get these things done and make these lots available for residents to purchase. And then we also, the reason I'm asking for it to be done on an emergency basis, you know, as I go back through and I look at some of the things that it's been amended to be applied, so it could be applied for by some of these businesses that come in town, it just makes no sense to have it be a 10-year automatic. I don't think that the village should ever be in a position where we're just forced to automatically give a tax abatement to a new business coming in. Again, there are a lot of other economic development tools out there that we could look at. How many jobs are you bringing in? You know, what's your net profit going to be in your business? We can look at what kind of income that's going to bring to the village and weigh that against what kind of economic development incentives we can provide to them to come in, instead of it, you know, just our hands being tied at 10 years automatic 100% on that.
Do you have copies of the 1994 yearly report that has to be filed with Department of Development?
Yeah, we get that from the auditor. Yeah.
If I would like to see those and see how that's been used,
okay,
before we make a decision on immediately asking that program. I would like
the only thing it would immediately ask is the residential side of it. It would leave it in place for commercial. Kevin wants to research that a little bit more. You know, obviously, at this point, my recommendation would be that if we can, we just eliminate it completely and use the other tools that are available that allow us to negotiation on that stuff. But it wouldn't be gone if we find there's a reason that we want to reopen it and amend the map. Again, we can continue to amend the map for commercial side of it. This just would eliminate any current undeveloped properties from the map. We have a company that's expanding in the industrial part. They own the lot next door. They've already got their preliminary plans done. And it's one of those situations where this is a really bad idea. The pre-94 is a really bad idea for the situation. They are not going to go anywhere else. They own the property. It's right next door. They're going to build there. If they want some kind of incentive, we can look at the jobs that are being created. We can talk about something, but that's a company that absolutely should not just be able to get 10 years tax abatement at 100% just for filling out an application.
So the TIF, because we have a income tax in Delta, has to be approved by the school board, correct?
If it goes over 75% for 10 years.
So it's an and, not an or, on that list of things.
Correct.
Okay.
So we can implement on anything a 75% TIF for up to 10 years without the school approval. Because I want to go to 80% for 20 years. That's why we need the school to sign off on it. But I think they'll see the benefit of that and do that.
I have a question on your, the drawing you handed out.
Yes.
There's no legend, so I don't know what the red area means versus the blue area versus...
The red areas are the undeveloped land that would be removed from the map. The amended one included that property off of Adrian Street that we're looking at the residential development on, just to make it clear, in case lawyers get involved, that we wanted that property removed from the pre-94 CRA map when we get closer to moving forward with that one. The pre-94 is for any addition, improvement, new construction, commercial, residential, industrial, whatever. If they're under a pre-94 CRA, they fill out an application and automatically get a 100% tax abatement on that increased value for 10 years.
The amending it again changes it to a post-1994, which is then up to 100%, which is...
Right. And then it takes the residential out and gives us the negotiation authority on it.
I would like more data on what has been used for the residential CRA before we... It's just a big step that we can't take back, and I would like to see the data first.
I get that. I mean...
I mean, it sounds like we've got developers in place that have afforded the property, and that's great, and I don't want to lose that, but I also don't want to make a step I can't take back without effects.
I understand. You know, like I said, Delta is the only community, I've talked to Fulton County Economic Development, we're the only community that has not removed residential from a pre-94 at this point. So that, you know, again, the only risk is that we're going to get an application for this business expansion that is going to get approved.
I'm not against it. I would get a little more data.
Okay.
Would it be best to table this or?
And just do a first reading.
Yeah, just do a first reading. Just leave it at that.
Well, we're going to, right now, everything's in the blue.
So prior to this last annexation, the last time it was amended, it was for everything within the village limits. So the last annexation of the property on the west side of town, that land is under a post-94 CRA. So that's not included in the pre. So that's why that's not included in any of this elimination. Everything that's in red is our current developable vacant land. That's the only thing we were going to remove from the pre-94.
What we want to do is make it so that if they come in and sell a house, they don't get 100% for 10 years, right?
Correct. It wouldn't be an automatic thing.
How come we don't have the land on Taylor Street?
It's not in the village yet. You're talking about that new 50 acres? Yeah.
We have a rough estimate of the valuation of these properties after they've been built. I'm just curious if it's going to be accessible housing for your average resident, or if it's going to be more upscale in the areas that we're tiffing.
So those are the plan right now for the 50 acres is the village through the TIF loan would put in all the infrastructure. And we'd have a program that we would put in place to be able to sell those lots as the infrastructure is put in off to several different builders. They could only, you know, they were thinking, you know, you can only own up to 5 vacant lots at once. We're going to have deed restrictions on there to stop speculators from coming in to buy up a bunch of vacant lots and not build them or try to flip them later for more money, and that you have to build them up. They have to be under construction within so long of the purchase. So that way we can get several different builders involved and we can get it built out faster. But everybody's talking, I mean, the builders that are interested are typical single family home type builders. And that would be exactly what the surrounding area is.
Is there any concern? I am not a TIF expert by any means. I've done a crash course recently on it. That by not having one in mid one place contractor company to come in and build these homes, that we are going to eat a cost of undeveloped homes.
Nope.
With the calculator.
Nope, because the first thing we're going to do on that is we're going to split off and subdivide the lots that are fronting on Taylor. And the we'll have it figured out to how many of those lots actually have to build for us to be able to make the payments on the sub loan.
Are we looking at the 100% minimum recommendation for payment on the TIF monetization, or are we looking at the 150 recommendation, 150%?
It would just be looking at the 100% repayment of the TIF. So that way, it gives me more of an opportunity to show the school that they have a potential benefit from this too. So once those homes build on Taylor, that's when we'll exercise the TIF, take out the loan, and we'll start the construction once we already have an assurance that we're going to be able to make those payments off that TIF money.
Motion for first reading.
Second.
So, can we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. For a first reading?
Well, it's under suspension. We have to act on the suspension.
Or no.
Not act on the suspension.
We're not acting on it.
Yeah, I have a motion and a second for ordinance 042024 for first reading. Can I get a roll call, please?
Dawson.
Yes.
Johnson?
No.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
No.
Demoline?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Executive session we added to the agenda.
I forgot about that.
So I would propose a motion to enter executive session under ORC 121.22G1 to consider the employment, promotion, and compensation of a public employee, inviting the administrator and the law director.
So moved. As recommended.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demoline?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes. So we will come out of the executive session and still act.
The next two ordinances, yeah.
Okay.
I have a motion and a second. Can I get roll call, please?
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demoline?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
You can ask for a motion.
So I think we'll do the first readings and I ask for the consent motion at the end.
That's fine.
All right.
So first reading on the
ordinance. 05.
Yep.
First reading, ordinance number 052024.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Can I get roll call, please?
Frank? Right.
Did we read it?
As I was saying, do we need to read it?
Yeah.
You need to read the title.
Okay. Ordinance 05-2024 is an ordinance amending the compensation plan, structure, and administration manual addressing wages and certain positions of the Village of Delta.
Hey, stop.
First reading.
It's just first reading.
First reading.
Now I have a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Nope. Good. Ordinance.
You can do Marlena.
06.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, one more ordinance.
You're doing it on the first reading, right?
Yes.
Don't have to.
No, it's just first reading. We're just doing the first readings, and I'll.
He'll do it after the first two readings. The first readings of each of the ordinances.
Right.
All right, we have ordinance 06-2024, first reading.
Ordinance 06-2024 is an ordinance establishing positions and wages for certain employees of the Village of Delta, Ohio.
Stop.
Yep.
First reading.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Can I get roll call, please?
Demeline?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
And then I would ask for consent of council by motion to appoint Jenna Flores as the finance director and Marlena Allwood as the assistant finance director for the Village of Delta.
So moved. Second. I have a motion and a second. Could I get roll call, please?
Todd?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is there any questions related to today's council proceedings? Next regular meeting for the Village of Delta will be Monday, March 4th at 5:30 p.m. With the rules and ordinances meeting beforehand at 4:30.
Excuse me, what was that?
There's a rules and ordinances meeting on Monday, March 4th at 4:30 before the next scheduled meeting at 5:30. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yep. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So I have a motion and a second. Can I get roll call, please?
Dawson?
Yeah.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank? Demeline?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
And I'm not